Yo, what is going on, everyone? Thank you once again for joining us on the Creative Conversations podcast with your boy Blair. But remember, we're friends, so call me Brock. Tonight, we have a very, very special guest. We had a couple run-ins in the photography world. She was super dope, very down to earth, an accomplished actress who can only give us more and more of her talent. Please welcome Miss Kristen Charisse. How you doing?
Hey, thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. You doing all right? You feeling good right now?
Yeah, listen, it's Friday tomorrow, so I'm already counting down.
Oh yeah. Don't go too crazy though, you know what I'm saying? We still out here having our mask on. So you gotta be careful out here when you party. So don't party too hard on the side.
No Thirsty Thursday. Have to try that one.
Nah, that's what it is. So before we get started, do me a quick favor and tell the people a little bit about yourself.
Yes, who, where do I start? I am a military kid from Virginia, now live in Atlanta right now, and I'm in a nutshell a PR girl turned into a creative entrepreneur, and that's by way of acting and print modeling, and that's where it's at. Being a creative and calling the shots to my own career is really just what I wanted to do. So that's me in a nutshell.
Hey, I like that. Calling your own shots for what you want to do for your career. That is definitely like a pin for someone who really wants to get started and wants to excel. That's like something that's going to sit well with somebody. It sits well with me, so that's pretty inspiring. I appreciate that.
Thank you. No, yeah, it's one of those things where I think overarchingly people look at it and they're like, yeah, I can't call it my own shots to anything, but you really can. And even starting to write it down and put it on paper, see it, manifest it. I'm really big on that too.
Oh no, that's for sure. Like it sometimes even myself, like we underestimate being able to just write down our process and really seeing it on paper. Like we can think about it all day. We can get Instagram and TikTok and different things like that to provide like fuel for our inspiration. But once you write it down, it's almost like an accountability factor. Like this is a real thing. I'm putting something to action. You know what I mean?
Right, it becomes real.
Exactly. Very tangible. So with that, I know that some processes start with writing and again getting inspiration from other like places and people. What were your inspirations when getting into the entrepreneur field, specifically acting?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Well, for me, how I kind of got started about it was, my mom, even though she was full-time active duty Navy, when I was younger, she could always tell, my kid never keeps quiet. She always likes taking pictures, that sort of thing. So she was really, I give it or owe it all to her in terms of, she was like, hey, let's get you modeling classes and learn how to do commercials. Again, the market wasn't really that big for it where I'm from in Chesapeake, Virginia. So what she did was, she just put me in classes. Again, not the market. So what I did was I went the, athletic route and all the way to college. But in sum, for me, it was best to really figure out what I wanted out of life and what I was good at. And I found that the arts were calling me again. So it was one of those things where it's like I came back to something that I've already kind of had a taste of from when I was younger. So again, for me starting, it was kind of like, I've always wanted to do this thing. Let me see if I can get back into it. And I heard Atlanta, I was in DC at the time and I was working, but I heard Atlanta was a market for it, had family here, so it made sense. So it was kind of just like when the timing is right and I was called to come home with family, and it worked out that way for me.
Oh, for sure. That's dope though, because like sometimes God puts things into place and it's like, okay, you're prepping yourself right now from not being quiet as a kid to going through school through athletics. So that way you're already in shape and you have like a sense of you know what I'm saying? I guess personal preparation when it comes to possible roles. So that also gets you in the mindset of like, oh, I got to be athletic for this role. I've been doing this
Well,
since
yeah,
school and college.
and it's also like you have like an inner grit to you. You have
Yeah.
your own version of, reptile skin. So like you're tough, and again, that means a lot of different things, not just what it looks like on the outside, but this industry isn't easy,
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just one of those where you have to I think a lot of people in the world don't think deeply or don't daydream enough about what they want to do. And I think as a kid, even though, you know, I had a fun wild lifestyle with, you know, parents being active duty, so I did get to travel a little bit, I still had that gut check at home of, what do you want to be? What do you want to do, Kristen? And that, you know, that's why that's my biggest thing in life. It's like, always go back to, what do you want to do, and go for it. Even if it doesn't look what or ideal on paper, right? I mean, you'll never know unless you try. So,
right. No, it makes sense. And it's good that you go back to your foundation. Sometimes, like, we'll get lost in the sauce, and all of a sudden we have to kind of ground ourselves, if you will, right, to in order to get good perspective on what we are looking to do and what we're trying to build.
Yeah.
Oh, that's I feel that.
I know. I'm like, yo, we got a poetry session going.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Just go ahead. Just hit some snaps right quick.
Right, right. But no, you said it. It's not this like really large brainy thing. It's just ground yourself in whatever that is for you.
Yeah, I know. I believe I talked about this before. But I know one of the lessons I've learned was just like to kind of narrow down what you want to do. We have such a broad aspect of life where we want to do so much, or we have such a broad idea of what we want to do, but sometimes it's hard to make it linear because we think we're holding ourselves back. But in reality, we end up guiding ourselves to places that lead to more opportunity.
Right on. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think it's also making executionable goals.
Yeah.
Because I'm a dreamer. Okay. Like, listen, Kristen is a dreamer. So I've had, again, that military household of bringing some realism in there. But again, it's, okay, this is what I want. What are the steps to get to that? I think that's, again, with grounding yourself, I think people, even if they're not in a creative industry per se, I think it's what steps get you to your goal. Don't just think of the goal. How can you get there? And then I think that makes it easier as people trek along.
When keeping your goals linear, it's definitely important to make sure that you have something that's executionable. That's what you said.
Yeah. I think so. And I think for me, again, I am a dreamer, and I had a gut check by my parents by way of, you know, you have to be a realist sometimes too. And I think for me, as I've, you know, matured in my artistry, I've learned to marry the two. And it's about executing or having executionable goals. I have this overarching dream, but how will I get there? And that's been helping me a lot along the way. And just stay grounded and never lose sight of what I want.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You never want to lose sight, even though sometimes it's easy, because just like you said, this industry is very tough. So sometimes people can have a way of like steering you in ways that they see you versus how you want to be seen. You know what I mean?
Yes. Ooh, you hit it.
Yeah.
I don't know how deep we going, but
let's go.
For instance, you know, there's this thing called stereotypes and cultural norms in the industry. And I know as an artist, for me, there are roles that I will not go for, because that is not the likeness that I want my future children to see, or even my family, you know, that supports my work. So again, that goes back to why I think we all have to ask ourselves this, even if we're not in a creative space or career, why do we do what we do? Sure. Who are we? And I think for me, that keeps me grounded in terms of, I will never sell myself or my likeness for a role. And I just think that's so crucial. And I think people need to talk about that at the dinner table more, because sometimes they lose sight. You know, maybe we're scrolling on Instagram and we see something or something we don't have that we think we want. And you just have to be very careful. And this industry will try you because you want something, right? And you see a lot of people winning, or of course you're rooting them on along the way. But again, you can't lose sight of why you do it and what you want. And your journey is different. So
no, I definitely agree with that. Even in the photography realm, just I'm definitely not the person to shoot like really over sexualized things. I mean, we've worked together, and my stuff is usually more of storytelling than anything. And I think sometimes there's like a thin line, and it can be tough when you see people with hundreds of thousands of followers and thousands of likes, because obviously there's a specific thing you're looking to hit. But at the same time, I know what I stand for, and not to say that those photographers stand for anything bad or artists stand for anything bad, but it's still, that's just not my vision and where I want to be placed. I want to be able to be looked at as a photographer who, oh yeah, you know, I meet a whole bunch of photographers who just want to get me naked, but you're different. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. No, it's funny you say that, but that's not a joke. Like, people really will hit you up and you're like, who are you? Right. Yeah. So I think what you just said in a nutshell too is like integrity in your craft and what you do. And man, I just, it's one of those things where you don't even, it just hits you. And again, we're all on a journey, you with photography, me with acting. It's like, you don't know, sometimes it's within you already, but you start to find your voice as you grow in it. Yeah. So it's just cool. I wouldn't choose any other thing.
You know what? I like that. It's cool. Like, you don't need anything super profound to try to, you know, pontificate on your craft. You just, it's cool.
That's cool.
I like it. You know, with that, I know that is also cool. Look how I did that, you know, segue. I know it's also cool to be able to have inspirations as far as like other people in the craft. I know there are a few photographers that I follow and even more artists outside of photography that really inspire me to keep my creative juices flowing, whether it's for the show or whether it's for photography or anything else I have interest in. When it comes to those type of inspirations, do you have anybody like that you look up to when you go to the movies and you're like, I need to see this person because this is the apex of where I want to be in my career?
Yeah. Oh, I always get this, not this question, but the question of like, who are your favorite actors or actresses? And I freak out because I like so many people, like in terms of their artistry and and just, oh my God. But honestly, what my inspiration is are the women in my family.
Okay.
Definitely my mom, like that is my ace. Oh my gosh. We've just always been close in life. So I feel like definitely my mom and my grandmothers. And again, why I do it, I want to be able to tell stories, especially for, you know, minority people of color, women, and showing them that they matter and that they can see and hear see themselves and hear their voice. And so just strong women roles, man, just to keep it simple, that's it. Hey. So for me, my inspiration has just been seeing the women like kick ass in my life and just really conquer the world day by day, whatever's thrown at them.
Hey, I feel you. My mom raised us, my brother and I, and I definitely see strength in women for sure through her.
Yeah, it's the moms.
It's always the moms, you know? And I remember meeting your mom. It was like the last time we shot a while back.
Yes, you did. You did.
She was really nice. I tell her, I said, hey, next time. You know what I'm saying?
I'll tell her.
But nah, but she was super dope, really chill. And I can see where the chillness came from for sure, even in that short meeting. But and it's also dope that you keep your family in mind when it comes to creating a legacy outside of your future family, but the people that represent you and people who raise you, you want to show them what that good example looked like.
It's generational wealth too, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So it's one of those things where that's something I think about because I feel like when you think of it outside of yourself, like I'm in this industry, I choose to be in this industry, and I want my work to, of course, live on when I'm long gone, you know, and I want the next generation to take on or take over. And again, that just goes back to like why I do it. And again, the inspiration behind it is there's a torch that has to be passed after I pass it. So
yeah,
man, it's just, I don't know. It's dope. It's one of those things where it's, thank you for allowing this platform because we just don't even, you know, get to sit down and just really hash out why and what we do, which is dope.
Oh, no, nah, it's all good. I find it that it's important to really be able to speak to artists, you know, especially being an artist myself, and really just take time to understand why we're in this, in the positions that we're in, whether you're just starting, whether you're in the middle of your growth, or where you're at the apex and you just got stories to tell. It's always important to be able to really get that perspective instead of like doing the guesswork or, you know, trying to, I see you on screen, so that's who you are. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's always good to be able to just get a grounded perspective on just different artists that people are either about to find out about or people that they've known forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Actually, this is really funny. This is a random story that just came up in my mind. I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's so embarrassing though. So a few years ago, you know, Bad Boys 3 shot here in Atlanta. I met the one and only Martin Lawrence, right?
Here's Rose, yeah.
So, of course, everyone's freaking out. They're trying to be subtle, but they're super hype. And I get so nervous. My PR self comes out, and I extend my hand when he goes in for a hug and I go, Mr. Lawrence. And I felt like such an idiot. Oh my God. I was like, how does this happen? But when you just said, like, you know, we ground yourself, why we do it. And I was just like, actually another artist who would be inspiration would be Martin Lawrence in terms of just how real he was. He was just like, you know, that's my uncle, or, you know, that's my, you know, he was just so cool. And I ruined the Martin Lawrence hug that was coming my way.
Not ruined the hug, though.
I ruined the hug. I went like complete paralegal or something. It was so weird. But, and he, you know, he was just super Martin about it. He was like, okay,
you're professional. Okay.
You're professional. Everyone else jumped on me, but okay. But no, again, it's just one of those, like, even though I feel like I was a complete dork in that moment, you know, I think my exterior was just very professional. So that's how I carry myself. And I challenge actors in the industry, no matter how hard or how bad you want something, always keep your professionalism. I'll open another door for you. I promise you it will.
I think that's a good story for anyone who is looking, who can be starstruck, right? Or someone who's like nervous in that, because you tell yourself to be professional and it can set yourself apart. With that moment, I'm looking at the glass half full as he's always going to remember, oh yeah, you were the person that stuck your hand out just to say, hey, and y'all could laugh about it. And then, you know, you never know what could come of that, but you made such an interesting impression. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah, I didn't even think of it that way. I was just like, wow, I'm that one actor that did not hug Martin Lawrence.
Yep. And he'll remember that next time you guys cross paths. You'll be like, oh yeah, I remember you. You were super professional.
So, super uptight. No.
But no, that's how I like to look at things. Like, let's look at the glass half full. Let's see how this, like, it's almost like, think about you do some work, right? And you think it's the worst work ever. It's not your best work, but then the masses love it. And you're like, why do y'all like this?
Why? I've been there. It's funny that you say that. A lot of actors, I think, we're sensitive people, right? We're vulnerable. We're open when we're telling these stories through our vessel. But I have noticed that a lot of us don't like seeing ourselves on screen. It's like a funny, like, but wait, you're an actor? You get in front of cameras all the time. But I think too, it's just, you're going to have your artist self and you're going to have your, when I'm at home and I'm just my regular everyday self. And I think it's okay to have the two be separate sometimes. Yeah. I've always found that it's allowed for just pure sanity to seep back in when you get super worked up with a project or even if you're working on a deadline, you know this best too with being a photographer. It's just like, you know, oh my God, I'm worked up. You know, I want this to be perfect. And, you know, that's damaging the moments we get into the perfectionism of it, because that's not art, right?
Exactly.
But
nah, it definitely can challenge you in a way that, you know, what did my friend say? I look at things as a layman. He said, I look at everything as a layman. And I never really thought about that until he said it, because, you know, we'll look at every single detail of our craft, but the person who's watching it, who's not in it that deep, is just looking at the performance in itself, which is what you're looking to portray to that person. You know what I mean? So you could look at a dramatic role, and I'm just spitballing here, but let's say I didn't give that extra tear that I wanted, but somebody could see that one tear and they could have been moved.
Ooh.
You feel what I'm saying?
I feel you. Yeah. I definitely think through that lens in terms of, man, I could have gone deeper or I could have done better. But I'm competitive in a healthy way, and I find that that keeps me hungry for it. But I haven't thought of that, because a lot of times people will say, good job, or I really was touched by what you did, and you'll be like, really? But you can't go into that damaging space as an artist. You have to go, again, what's my why? Gut check. Okay, moving forward. Here's why I'm doing this. And you have to, I think, you tell me how it is with photography, but I think you have to leave your best work and be present while you're doing the work at that time. And you just have to keep moving on to the next thing, or else you're going to go mad, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Because even when working on photos, let's say if I'm doing an editing session and I'm looking at the same photo over and over and over, and I finally post it, I got to move on. I can't sit for a week, 2 weeks, hoping that people will like it, whatever everybody's saying. It's just, I have to remember, this is my work. I'm proud of it. If there's something that I didn't like, take notes on what I want to fix next time and keep pushing.
Yeah, keep pushing.
Yeah, you definitely want to stay stay in your creative box of wanting to grow, that's not wrong. But at the same time, you also have to have a perspective of, I know I'm a girl from this, mm-hmm. instead of being so stuck on what you're doing now, because if you stay stuck on that, then you're not going to grow at all.
You're not going to grow. And at the same time, it's, you're not going to please everybody, and that's okay.
Exactly. And I had to teach myself that as well. Very, very early. It's like, not everybody's going to like my work and what I have to represent.
But moving on, I'm still great, you know?
Exactly. Like, yeah, you know, God is going to allow me to reach the people that I need to reach.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's the way I look at it. I know a lot of people like to get really selfish as they grow, but I always think that everybody's the main character of their own story, and what's meant mm-hmm. for them is what's meant for them.
Yes. Poetry moment.
Of course.
No, and I teach at, I don't know if I told you this, but I work at Catapult Acting Studios here in Atlanta.
Oh.
And a big part of what fulfills me as an artist is pouring into the students that come in, because I feel like I want to look around the table and see a lot of my faith in terms of people who look like me, and I want us to rise to the top. And again, it goes back to like passing that torch. I'm not mm-hmm. doing this for just me. Mm-hmm. And it, I don't know, it's just fulfilling. I feel like it would be a better place, right? I mean, if everyone just took a little nugget of that and into our everyday lives, but work in progress.
As long as you reach one.
As long as you reach one.
Moving on to expounding on the craft. Yeah. Let's get into the nitty gritty of things, because,
do it.
You know, as an actor, not myself, you know, because I'm not in a game like you. However, you have to be, as you said before, vulnerable in order to tell a story. And when it came to roles like Lucy McDaniels in Law and Order, mm-hmm. you know, Esme, was it Langer?
Langer, yeah.
Yep, and FBI Most Wanted. I mean, even Jeanette Hilton in Good. Mm-hmm. Those roles took different aspects, from emotion to fear to happiness. You had to really channel different things for different roles. So in your best words, how did you really prepare to be those characters?
Yeah. The fun thing about being an actress is, again, you have to, I look at my artistry as a blank canvas and I paint as I go. And for me, it was a matter of, how do I see Kristen in this? What would Kristen do? Then I marry the character that I'm blessed to read for. And for me, it's fun. And the three characters you pulled were, they all have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
These women have things they're feeling in terms of, you know, one, there's anger by way of an ex that done her wrong, and one by way of a dad trying to control her life. And all of them have a Kristenism, which is, I let my voice be heard when I'm wronged or when I feel something so passionately. So mm-hmm. it was just a blessing to, sometimes, you know, again, as an actor, we're all used to reading 100 times just to book that one role sometimes. So it's, again, to the outside world, they're like, what? You do this for fun, for a career? but of course, there's so much more that goes into the weeds of it all. But it's so powerful when you are blessed to and chosen to do a role, because you are allowing that to come through your vessel. So even though every character you play has its differences and they vary, you're still breathing life into that person. So it's a mix of, you know, how are you influenced by life as you live it, and marrying that with the character you're playing at that given time. And some characters demand more work than others in terms of, you know, have I gone through something that I can readily access in my life and pull into that character, right? But, you know, it just is case by case depending on what role you get. But for me, I love journaling. And so journaling is a way where I just get to daydream. Because, you know, we don't daydream anymore. Like, we used to as kids, but like as adults, we kind of like, I got finances, taxes, etc. And
be for yourself.
Right. No, well, for me, I don't, I lost track of having that free time and just being in Kristen's head and just being there. And I think as an actor, it's allowed me to go back to that. So doing that for a craft that I love to blossom and grow in is just so fulfilling. But yeah, it's one of those things where you just really get to, it's vulnerable in ways where people are starting to see glimpses of you as you're playing these characters, and take it or leave it. You know, some won't, as we said, won't like your work, but that's not what we do it. There's someone in that audience, wherever they are in their home, in the movie theater, that's seeing you portray someone that touches them in a way. That's what why we do it, is to connect with the outside world. And for me too, it's the message that I'm sending by way of what characters I play. Like I've turned down some auditions just because I was like, you know, do I want this in the universe? So kind of like what we were hinting at before, it's like it goes back to what's my why.
No, that makes sense. I mean, just looking at you in those roles, it was so interesting to kind of see that aspect of you, because I remember when we met was at the at like that carnival fair they were having at the mall when we shot, and we had to like really improvise on the spots that we were using. And I remember meeting you, and I didn't really know what to expect, you know, like anyone. Right, but when we met, you were just very chill. You were just like, "Hey, what's happening? Let's shoot. Yeah. All right, cool. Whatever you say, do it." And you were so comfortable. Huh? Yeah.
No, I know. It had like a very, like, it was familiar, and it was comfortable. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was like a familiarity for sure. And I mean, we had our mutual friend Kaya, who pretty much kind of like was the glue to that. And so it made things a lot easier when meeting each other. But I just seeing you then, and then watching those episodes or watching that movie, even that one, I could not get the name of it. I could not remember, but I remember you like got revenge on a young man who did y'all wrong. I remember that was the very first time I saw you on screen.
Hate Crimes, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was. And I remember watching that like a year or so ago. And then I watched these recently and I was just like, wow, first of all, that's not the same person I met at the carnival. That's not the same character.
Thank you.
You know, but at the same time, when you were sitting with the one character in Good, and you were like, first of all, don't cuss at me. I was like, oh. I almost felt like I never want to get on her bad side, because as chill as somebody is, they always have that side.
The switch, yeah.
Yeah, you know? So like watching those and then really getting to see emotion from you and those different aspects was so interesting and enlightening to be able to, you know, connect with you in a way. And I remember Good specifically, because I really connected with that movie. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, and yeah, it was a really good theme, and you know, it was relatable in ways. And then seeing your character come in and how prominent your character was, and then, like I said, the pain that character went through was so interesting. I was like, wow, just to see her just show us that type of pain, or show us that type of joy when those little joyless moments had, and those the moments of closeness when you guys were talking about the pregnancy and everything's like that, and that particular scene at your job, and you gave him the ultrasound photos for the first time.
Yeah. Thank you. That means a lot. No, I think too, another thing of, as an artist, when you get in your head, you know, we get in our head sometimes, right? Because we're perfectionists. Yeah. We want our work to be great. But there's a thing in terms of the process of it all, or how I go about it. And anytime I get super in my head, I always try to put not a band-aid, but to heal that, I try to think more as to what that character is going through. So for instance, in Good, if there's a moment where I'm like, okay, well, let me get in this argument authentically, I'm pretty sure a lot of us know at least a guy or a girl going through this situation. And what do they feel? Step out of yourself. It's not about you and what your headiness. It's about, what is this person feeling like when this person's like, hey, I know you're pregnant, but hey, I'm getting married, so figure it out.
Right.
I'm going to snap, you know, just thinking about it. The hair on my arms just was like, no. So it's really just the art of relating with, or having empathy for what people are going through.
Mm-hmm. No, you bring me back to a time I was in what was called one act in high school, and I did it as a favor. And I may have spoken about this in another episode, maybe, but if not, I'm doing it again. No, but to get into that mode, I remember I had to have like this really emotional scene. And then I had some things that I was dealing with at the time, and I kind of channeled that. And it got to a point where I stormed off stage and had to walk around the school for a bit.
Yeah.
Like it got really, really intense for me. And then coming back to it, I was like, okay. And I kind of guess knew how to challenge that a bit, or channel that, I should say. And it ended up working out in the end for sure. But to hear that and really be like, I had like a small experience with being able to, like you said, you think about that scene where you're getting played, basically like, hey, I know you have my baby, but I gotta get married and see what's happening. And he's trying to figure it out. But you said the hair on your arm started raising. Like that's, I guess I feel that in a way, being that I had that small experience in high school when being on stage.
Yeah. And so like, say for instance, when you go up for that role you're going to get in the future, what you do is you just tap into like that real authentic moment that you just brought up and see how you can marry that in the character you're playing. And again, it's easier said than done. This is a craft you have to work at, but
yeah,
I think the best actors to me are the ones who are really great at imitating life and who live life to the fullest so that you can access those authentic moments. I had a coach tell me one time, she was like, Groupon your life. And I was like, what is she? Oh, I get what she means. She's saying Groupon, do things you haven't done before, experience new things, try different stuff. And she even made a joke of, you know, date people and break up. And I was like, I'm not going to go that far.
Yeah,
but I see what she meant. She meant, you know, just do things that you don't normally do. And that makes you a better, one, well-rounded person. But mm-hmm. specifically with the arts, it's allowing you to have different experiences and memories.
No, for sure. That makes a lot of sense. Like, because at first when you said Groupon, I was like, what? Right. Give your life at a discount? Always give yourself a deal?
No, Groupon your life. Yeah.
You'll open up to different experiences for sure. So that makes a lot of sense. I like that. We got to coin that.
Yeah, we got to coin it. Groupon your life.
Indeed. No, well, let me ask this though, because now getting into those roles, you also have so many other actors that you have to work off from. There are so many actors that have their own styles and their own methods. Ooh, yeah. How do you balance your process with other actors in order to successfully demonstrate the scene that needs to be demonstrated?
Ooh, that's a good question. Poetry snap. it's one of those things where, again, it goes back into the craft of it. This isn't mm-hmm. an overnight sensation type of career. Mm-hmm. A lot of people will say that it is, or you know, I my quick journey to stardom, that's bullshit. It doesn't exist. Yeah. A lot of, like Viola Davis, for instance, she was in Antoine Fisher. So she's acted opposite Denzel Washington, right? And then we see her in Fences. So for anyone that's like, wow, the first time we see her, no, she's been in the game for a while. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where you just, each role, each character you get to dive into, you earn your stripes and you keep learning what works for you, what doesn't. And you grow and you get stronger. You grow that confidence and that ability. And essentially we call it like actor chops. So you in our craft is technical on camera. Movements that we do in real life are really huge if you don't play them just right on camera. So that's a whole another little behind the scenes thing where our medium is very technical. So it's a mixture of marrying authentic moments, but technicality for the camera. And you just have to have a game plan. And I think for me, what always helped was using that athletic state of mind that I had. And I took that into my auditions. So when people are like, hey, you know, I saw you this weekend, I'm like, I saw you too. Love you. Let's catch up. But I got to go into this audition. So it's having that, you know, I'll see you at the finish line. Everyone have a good race, but I got to get what I need to get. This is why I'm here. So when you're on set for Law and Order, I was, oh my God, that was so much fun. Anthony Anderson.
Yeah. Oh my God. He had that one-on-one.
One-on-one, man. Mm-hmm. That was so dope. But he, again, you could just feel the artistry in the room with these actors who've been doing it for such a long time. And everyone just had their own athleticism, you know, that inner thing that they had. And it was fun to step out of myself and see, you know, I had that too. And it was just something that I've had since I was a kid. So again, it goes back to, you know, who are you, and figured that out, and you're literally unstoppable.
Oh, that's what it is. I mean, it's I'm gonna use like what was one of the lines for Line where he said at the table, and I'm gonna just I'm gonna perform it the best way I can. Okay, you ready?
go yes.
All right, read the transcripts and scene. That was that. All right, did you feel the
that
energy?
Was it? Yes, that was it. Oh my god. Yes.
But no, I see what you're saying, you know, to come back to it. I see what you're saying, that it's just like being on the field with other athletes who have different ways of practicing, but at the same time have the same goal. You're on set with these different actors who have different experiences, different types of teaching, different type of discipline. But at the same time, you all execute to reach the same goal. And that is to win over the audience. That is to make sure the scene is clean. That's to make sure that, you know, you get another job later.
Yeah, because everyone wants a great production. And another thing on and the inside of our industry, it's about sending that energy through your scene partner and vice versa. So we're in it together. And our victory lap is when we, we reach our scene outcome, whether our characters fail in what we want or gain what we want. You know, it doesn't matter. What matters is that these two actors on set at that given time are helping each other in that artistry. So luckily for me, I haven't had the time in my career where I've had a bad experience on set. It's all been positive. It's all been nurturing and safe. But you do have to, again, be ready for the times where it may not be. And you know, how are you going to combat that?
Sure. I will mention this because I know it's not supposed to be bad in real life, but I did feel some kind of way in the beginning of the episode of FBI Most Wanted, where you were cooling and all of a sudden the maid found you, and then I saw your actual dummy side of you, like the dummy head they use, and I was like, first of all, they did a really good job.
They did. I had to do a 2-hour cast for that.
Really?
Yes, it was crazy. They had to like put like this paper mache and get like the full cranium mold. Then that's how they made it.
Oh, that's awesome. See, I never knew that process, like or what they had to do in order to make that. Because I was like, when she found it, I was like, dang, they did a really good job. But they also did a good job, too, of representing you in photography. So you actually got a way of showing your acting chops and at the same time showing your print work.
I did. When I mentioned manifestation, it was such a full circle moment for me as I started out modeling when I was a kid. And then the inspiration for my character was the one and only Iman. I was like, are you kidding? Is this happening right now? And then when we got on set with the house, the picture was like so large. It wasn't subtle at all. It was literally like a 10 foot photo on the wall. And I was like, is this just the wife's house? You know, the husband doesn't listen. That's but it was just great. And of all days, my character's birthday was happening, and it was my actual birthday when we shot the scene.
Wow. That's cool. Yeah. That's cool.
I was like, wow, I'm spending my birthday on set till 11 p.m. and I've never been happier. So it was just manifest your dreams, man, and they'll come true. They really will. You just have to have those executionable steps along the way.
I feel that. See, I like that. I like the fact that even though we do know each other personally, to really be able to see that growth from, and I know I wasn't there in the beginning, or anyone who hasn't been there, that you've gotten to create like friendships or relationships with, is always dope to see your perspective then and now, and actually getting to see it tenfold on the screen, whether it's a movie or a show or whatever you're doing, even if it's on stage at some point, to be able to see the work that you're putting in and to execute those scenes well and those characters well. It's awesome. You're definitely an inspiration.
Thank you. It's all love. Likewise. But yeah, it's, and you know, I'm here for you too. If there's anything, I know we're going to continue to collab in the future, but it's one of those two where I think Tiffany Haddish said this. I may be wrong. It may have been Issa. But the point is, they had said, you know, a lot of times you'll see artists or entrepreneurs in the industry and they'll be reaching for that top exec or that person that's, that's trending in the industry. And it is not about that. It's about the creatives with you, your next door neighbor, us on this podcast right now that can link up and create a project, you know? So I think it's one of those things where you have to really look around yourself and go, who was a part of my team before I was anybody?
Oh, no, I get that. And I've actually quoted that as well. I mean, not word for word, but at the same time, I live by that, that she said, that statement she said, where it's like, it's not about reaching the top, it's about reaching around and seeing who's hungry with you. I've always, ever since I heard that years ago, I was like, oh, she's on it. And that made a lot of sense to me. And I want to always make sure that even, as much as I want to reach to the top and get these people with experience, I think it also helped launch this podcast the way it has, because I'll be able to reach to anyone at any level who wants to express themselves in their artistry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And kudos to you for, again, it's no easy feat, you know, having people on and coordinating. So again, it just shows the like-mindedness, and that's why I'm happy to do it. I really am.
I appreciate you. And all, like I said, it's nothing too much like it is being on set. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all love here, just like it's all love on set for you. And speaking of being on set and working on different productions, you definitely have to have a different mode for movies and TV, I'm assuming.
You do. I love that question, because I love getting in the weeds of the art. I'm that person that researches way too much. So I'll have friends text me and they'll be like, 10 p.m., hey, I have an audition for Fox. And I'm like, oh, okay, what's the show? And we get into the technicality weeds of it. But but yeah, so with TV, it's quick, it's fast. Before you know it, you know, a scene happens and then you're on a commercial break. Whereas film is elaborate by way of taking its time. So the actors going in have to know essentially the artistry or the way you color a scene will follow the technicality of that, if that makes sense. So for TV, it's kind of like, you know, you just got to get to it quickly. There's pace to it. Whereas films and cable shows, the miniseries you see on Apple TV or Hulu, you get to play a little bit more and have the pacing isn't as quick as a network show.
Okay. I guess that makes sense, because with a network show, especially depending on the degree of the show, it's it's weekly. So you want to make sure that you get everything done and concise as much as possible. So that way you can have that production ready for that week, and then the week after.
Yeah. And you know, episode takes 8 days. One episode is 8 days to shoot.
Oh, wow.
A lot of scenes get cut that a lot of people don't know. Just like, you know, there's so much blood, sweat, and tears that go into this. For those that aren't in the industry, there's a co-star role to start, right? Mm-hmm. And then the people you see every week are the series regulars. But the co-star roles sometimes get cut just for the timing and the pacing of the show. So that actor that crushed it at the audition and booked that role sometimes doesn't get to see their work, which is just, it sucks, honestly.
I can imagine.
But yeah, because it's like they worked for it, you know? But that happens, and again, it's because the pacing is so quick. You got to get to it, and before the ad buyers or the commercials come in and show their products. So it's really an entertainment beast, and I think the more you understand how the execs in the corporations work, I think it, for me, that's how I got into it. I was like, how can I use my PR acumen to help me in this industry? To me, I thought I started late. There's no age or time limit on it.
Yeah.
But it's helped me thus far in terms of sussing out the corporation or the business mindset of the industry. So now I can just worry about the artistry.
Not for sure. And I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I was going to ask the elements of being on set, the elements of acting. I know that you are able to pick up different things from other sources while on set, from the director, from producers, from other actors, and it circles back around, as you said, to your PR. And I want to kind of touch base on that experience in your entrepreneurship journey. Tell me a little bit about C1 Dream Entertainment and C1 Dream Entertainment PR, because I feel that, as you mentioned before, it was kind of like a catalyst to get into modeling or in acting, really. And because it plays such an important role, I want to kind of get a brief scope on what that does for you and how that continues to drive you in acting.
Yeah, thanks for asking. So for me, my C1 dream, and again, I just use my name, and I always had one dream in mind that I wanted to go for. That's kind of where it brewed from. But I had a really good actor friend in the market, Jared Woof, really great actor. And, you know, I was just, he was like, hey, you have a PR background. I was like, yeah, I do. What do you need? And, you know, we put our brains together, and I started doing some public relations for him on the side just to help him with some of the projects that he had coming out. And so that's one of those where it's like you pour into your community and the person that's part of your team right next to you. And, you know, we linked up, and I just did some PR for him, and that's where that started. And already, you know, my end goal with this is, if you notice, a lot of people in the industry are not just acting anymore, or not just writing, not just directing or producing. They're a jack of all trades. And so for me, the end goal will for sure be an executive producer, because I feel like, you know, one day when I'm with my family, if I just want to not have to go on set, but I'm still making money, you know?
Hey.
Listen, so that's where C1 Dream brewed for me, and it's simply a media company that puts minority storytelling at the forefront. And that's something that it's not something that I'm rushing. It's, you know, I haven't worked on any projects quite yet, but I am in the brainstorming stage and looking to write soon. So,
yeah. Oh, that's not bad at all. That's actually really dope, because, again, you're creating an opportunity for yourself to be a catalyst for others. And I think that's really dope, because, again, you give yourself a chance to really grow and shine in what you do. And at the same time, you also give love, like you said, to your community and who wants to get into this game as well. So doing PR for them will definitely set the mark for them, but also make you a household name in the process.
Yeah, and it's you take it in stride, but I want to set myself up for tomorrow. That's how I move. And again, the generational wealth aspect of it, I want something that I can pass down. And I don't want to, here's the thing, in our industry, actors are, you're auditioning, you want that opportunity so you can seize it, right? Yeah. But I personally don't like having my career in someone else's hands. It could be because I'm a control freak, I don't know. But for me, I'm like, you know, I heard that CEOs or billionaires have at least 7 streams of income. So how can I do that for myself?
Right.
In executionable steps. So for me, it's just, you know, setting my sights on what I want down the road and, you know, just taking it day by day.
I respect it. And I respect your pace. You don't feel like you have to rush it. You're allowing it to come to you and you're doing the groundwork for it.
Yeah.
And sometimes we lose that mindset of we got to have it now. We got to have it now. Somebody else had it on Instagram. Somebody else had it on TikTok. Somebody else had it on this. I got to do it. And in reality, it's like, is the work you put in, you're going to get out of it, but you have to allow yourself to grow in that process. Yeah. So that way you can appreciate it.
Yeah. And just allow yourself that time. And let's be real. Like, I get distracted a lot on social media, but I will have, I call them gut checks. I have these moments with self where I'm like, Chris, what you doing? Like, why are you on this? Like, turn off, you know, go be productive, even if it lasts for like 30 minutes at the time. But no, I think you just have to be real with yourself and know, like, you're going to have distractions, but you have to have a stronger objective that's operating so that you don't get distracted too often. So that, you know, that's kind of what I do. I just have gut checks for myself. It's going to happen, but, you know, don't rush yourself, because if you do, you won't enjoy the journey while it happens, you know. Always be present is what I'm trying to, that's what I'm living by now. I was telling a friend of mine, I am living in boldness. That is my thing right now. So we'll see.
I feel that, living in bold. We have so many quotables in this episode, I promise.
We do? We got quotables?
We got quotables. You got quotables on quotables, all right? You better listen to her. Live in the moment, people, because we're so focused on what could happen and what happened in the past. And sometimes we forget the presence is a beautiful thing. Yeah. So we got to be in the present and live it moment by moment. And then from there, we will be good to go in order to manifest even better future. Let me ask this, speaking of future, what's next for you? What do you have in the pot that you're cooking up right now?
What's in the pot?
You know what I'm saying?
Honestly, I've been auditioning. I've been blessed to audition lately, frequently. So we'll see. But I definitely want to set my sights more so this year on, again, starting to really put pen to paper for my production company in terms of, you know, what scripts do I want to focus on now? And I think that's going to keep me very focused. And so when auditions come and when they don't, I'm good, you know, because I'm starting to work on my own company that I'm running. So that's what I'm going to be working on, like starting next week. But you know, the projects, I'll keep you posted as they come. Hopefully some in the future, but you know, I honestly am so blessed, and I've had time to reflect, and, you know, with having the blessing of Law and Order happen starting this January, it was just like, wow, I didn't see that coming, you know?
Yeah.
My role was written, for a Caucasian actress, and they changed it when I read for it. So it was just full circle. And honestly, I told my mom, I was like, listen, if that's the one booking I have this year, it was worth it.
Hey, I like that. I like the positivity. I like your journey and your story that you have thus far. I like the fact that you're growing in your process. I like the fact that even though you're growing and you're so focused on winning, that you want generational wealth for your family and also to bleed into the community positivity and giving them opportunity to grow and be where they want to be. Kristen, I appreciate you so much. I appreciate you so much for coming.
Likewise. Thank you for having me. Now we got to do it again.
Oh, of course. We're always going to have a follow-up episode, of course. Yes. You know? But in the meantime, you know, let the people know where they can find you.
Yes. So I am on IG, y'all, at Kristen.Cherise. I am on Facebook, but I might cancel it. So IG is the best way to reach out if anyone needs anything.
And there you have it, people. That is another show in the books. Thank you again for tuning in to Creative Conversations. My name is Blair, but my friends call me Brock. As always, stay blessed and, of course, stay creative. Peace.